Alchemy. Yes. Can you do 230? That's perfect. Not a problem. Not a problem. Beautiful. You're welcome. Bye.
What's your, what is you call your field?
Hairstyling.
Hairstyling.
But there's more to this than...
There's definitely more. Yes.
So what would be a more accurate term?
Beautifying inside and out. In and out beauty. It's definitely isn't it.
But this is your psychiatrist's chair also. People come in and they get their head shrunk and they get their hair shrunk.
You know, it was really, it's really funny because a couple of weeks ago I went to, my friend cut my hair. And I was, I went to visit where she works. So she's cutting my hair, and I can't remember at one point, this is a good friend of mine who I adore. And at some point, I can't remember what, she asked me some questions, and I got emotional. Oh, it was about my skin, because I've been very conscious of my skin. I always have perfect skin. And last year, my skin wasn't so perfect. So she says to me, nurse, you're beautiful. And you know, I can't believe that you ever thought that your skin was not beautiful. You're beautiful. I said, because you're looking at me with your heart, because you love me. She goes, no. So we're talking, and I got emotional. I have tears in my eyes. And I remember this morning, as I was thinking and talking to you about my experience as a client, and I remember being emotional and having tears in my eyes. And I guess it's that connection that we get with our stylist, that is, you know, everything comes out. It's kind of like you feel safe and you feel comfortable with discussing anything. And if you can get somebody that can really acknowledge and be with you in what's going on, that connection. My thing is, when I have an appointment with you, I'm with you. It's not everything else going around. It's what's going on with you. How can I help you? What can I do to make your life better and for you to be uplifted and feel great when you leave my chair, inside and out?
So part of what I'd like us to explore here in this conversation and as we is the relationship. People trust you. They come to you, mm-hmm. and you're like in this trust business. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of responsibility. That means you have to be vulnerable also. Mm-hmm. You have to be trusting. You have to.
Yes.
And how does that play out inside of you?
I think of a caretaker. I have an ability. It's like a teacher. Teachers, good teachers, are people that are, they love what they do. It's not about the money. It's about they love what they do and they care. I think I see myself in that light, where I really care. And I really want to help people. Sometimes I see people on the street or in the subway, and I'm like, I would love to style their hair. Like, I would love to. That person can look so much better with the right look. That can give, it's amazing what the right look, the energy that can give and the confidence to somebody. But a lot of people don't know how to do it or what to do. And that, I think, is in really getting that connection. To get to that person, to see what I can describe. Like when I see you, I can give you advice based on what I see from my expertise point. And if I can engage you, enroll you to see things the way I see it, it's fabulous and it works.
So then going back to that, because we're here
to do your hair.
Right, so what
get you as comfortable as possible in my chair.
Okay.
So I can be as comfortable as possible.
All right. Okay.
so we're comfortable as possible.
Yes.
Possible as comfortable.
So the concept is for you to be present, to be comfortable, so you can relax in my chair.
Excellent, excellent. Okay.
Tell me when.
Gum. Good stuff. Okay, where are we going to sit?
You're going to sit right here.
Okay. This is very complicated thing I'm doing here. Just because, only for the simple reason I am also shooting.
When was the last time you washed your hair?
I washed it yesterday. I was going to wash it this morning, but I thought I better.
Pick it up and then we'll do it. Because I see you're getting very comfortable there. Strange. I was invited to a cocktail party on March 11th. One of my clients, she's one of these amazing women. And it's always networking and getting, great energy. And this time it's like very wealthy women trying to figure it out, better ways of life going on and network and make changes in the world and all that stuff. So she invited 40 women. And she was asking me ideas. What do I think she can do to make it more fun? So I said, why don't we, I have this girl who's a makeup artist. Why don't we get Ray Dawn to come in and do your makeup? And I can come and do your hair prior to it. So it's kind of like she would be promoting me in her event. I can give free consultations to the women in there. And you know, we just talk beauty, but at the same time we're networking and mingling. So if you're around, I don't know if you like it. And so I thought that would be cute. If you're around, if you want to come in and meet all these 40 women.
You know, I'm allergic to women.
Oh, I know. Because you can promote your work. I don't know if you're interested in doing photography or what exactly are you interested in?
Well, that's a good question. If I can only figure out how to get this damn audio going.
It's not listening to you?
No, it is listening to me. This one is listening to me also. And I'm just trying to see about the camera getting the audio going, but for some reason, there it is. Okay. All right, so we got the audio from the camera. We got the audio from the... So we got an extra audio thing. And now we're going to go over and I'm going to wash my hair. Man, right out of your hair. Okay, so let's see, how's that working there? Why is that now? Where is that? Okay, hold, come on. Watch. I need a new battery. Okay, there. So it's there.
But you need to plug it into the
okay. Electricity. No, I got this one is running already. Okay, so now where do we go?
I'm just gonna have a consultation with you to figure out what we're doing with your hair.
Okay.
And then,
all right.
Then you tell me what you think you would like to see, and then I just give you questions what I see from my point of view.
Well, you know, I've gone into hair places where I had hair like this. He looked at me and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Just take it all off."
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was during the spring. Now here I am. We don't have much to work with because what I have. Has disappeared over the years.
It all depends if what you want is hair on top of your head. That's a different story.
See, I'm not really used to the idea that I don't have this a whole mop of hair because.
So you wear the hat most of the time?
No, only lately. Vanity and because of the sun and cold and because I don't have enough brains to.
You look cool though. Very artsy. Don't you think?
Well, I've had a really.
I really think that the long hair works on you.
Oh, really?
It gives you, that artistic look.
Uh-huh. Well, you're the maestro. What when you see me, the question is, what do you see? Because you're the one who sees things in people that they don't even see in themselves sometimes.
You walk in, I would just say it would be great because you probably are not one of those guys that cut your hair often. I would say just go short because it's going to take you for a while into more growing into different looks. But I think that you should keep these because it gives you that look that is just very kind of like free spirit. I don't care what people think, which is very comfortable look, and you can carry it. I will definitely polish it a little bit by cutting, cleaning up the eyebrows, and because of the hiding your eyes, and also making these more finished and cleaning it up all around, so it's not like giving a haircut.
And what about the length? What do you see there?
The length, I think, I don't mind the length. I would probably take about an inch of the length and then add a little bit of layers so it makes it look a little bit more fun. But I would say keep the length. You can always go short, but I think if you've got a good length right now, why not enjoy it? And you can make a spice of the look by changing hands and creating that look that can be special, and not like you're hiding that you don't have hair on top of your head. Because you're comfortable with it, aren't you?
I am, but you're not supposed to be messing with the sound.
Sorry.
You're forgiven just as once. I'm thinking about, what is our relationship to hair?
Our relationship.
Right, as human beings, and then your relationship, and maybe my relationship. What is my relationship?
To hair. Well, my relationship to hair is very free, and I think this is what gives me that freedom. You know, most people come in, and a lot of them are afraid of changes. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to change my color. I'm not afraid to change the length. I can be straight 1 month, and the next month I can just make my hair curly, and I'm not afraid of that. And I think to really become in my business someone that people trust. Sometimes I get people that are really afraid, but when I can explain to them what I'm trying to do, sometimes I get someone that says, I want to go short. And when I explain to them, I don't think you should go short, I think you should keep it long. And by explaining, it makes sense, and it's something that we do together. It's not something that I'm doing, making a decision. But by explaining it to you, like you're willing to go short, I think keep it long. And most people think of hairstylists as, you know what, you just want to cut hair. And that's not it. I really want to find what will work for you right now where you are in your life.
And there are people who are just never happy?
Yes, and that's a good one. I remember when I started as a stylist, I never forget this experience I had, and I think it shaped me up forever. I got a client, one of those never happy person, right? And these women, she saw somebody else I did. And so she had about short hair, and she says, she was beautiful. And she says, you know, what do you think? I said, well, I love your hair, but she goes, I wore my hair short all my life, but this is now I have long. I said, well, it's pretty, and you will look beautiful either way. But what exactly do you want to do? She goes, what do you think I should do? I said, let me show you some pictures. So we went through pictures, and I show her the difference. If you want it to grow, we can clean it up and maintain it. Or if you want to go short, these are the choices. But I hate it all. Okay, so let's cut it. Well, but I had a short all my life. So let's keep it short. But I need something. Okay, so what do you like me to do? So the consultation went on for a while, going back and forth. Finally, she says, yes, I want that haircut. I said, fine, we're cutting your hair short, and this is the way it's going to look at the end of it. I finished the haircut, and she says, I said, what do you think? She says, it's beautiful, but I want my hair long. That was a breaking point in my career, and thank God it was at the beginning of it, because I couldn't put it back. The frustration was huge, because of course I want to please someone. Of course, and I felt cheated, because I thought I'd be my best in explaining what I was doing. But I was new, and I wasn't used to reading people as well. But that really shaped me. I get people now in my chair that is like, you know what, I want to look. Let's keep it on. But I think you will look better if we do this and that. Keep that in the back of your head. When you're ready for a change, those are my choices. The same thing with color. These colors will look amazing on you, but if you're not ready for it, it's not the time to do it.
Talk about colors. What do you think of my...
I love your color.
I was thinking about putting some purple and blonde in it.
We can go with blue too.
A little purple too.
Yeah, you're into purple. Yeah, that's why I wore this. Well, right. In your honor.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The question though is really as young people, how they look at their bodies and look at their minds and look at themselves as commodities, and as we get older, how our perceptions of our change remain the same and change at the same time. Like I look in the mirror and I see myself and I go, who's this guy?
Who's this person? I feel the same way.
What's he following me around for? And then when I get a short hairdo, a real short, and I feel like I'm a gay football player. And I say, oh, who's that guy following me around? Or I look in a storefront. I mean, I had that once. I shaved part of my beard and my mustache. I left my mustache on. And it was the first time in 20 years. And my kids walked right by me, didn't even recognize me. My daughter wouldn't look at me. And I, every time I looked in a storefront mirror, I said, who's that guy following me around? A strange guy.
How do you feel with the change? Did it change your personality? Did it change the way you were, your behavior? You don't remember.
It's hard to remember. My concept of myself was different because of the way my facial hairs look. And it's kind of interesting. I produced some dance performances years ago, and I wrote a poem, and I was working with this dancer who danced with Paris Opera, but he taught Aikido and martial arts. So he says to me, dance it out. So I closed my eyes and I danced it out. And what was interesting I learned is that as you close your eyes, you no longer have a body, you're a spirit, you're an energy. And that's how I think we think of ourselves. We see ourselves, we look through our eyes, and I look through my eyes, except I'm looking in the mirror. I don't do and have conversations with myself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking to you, and we're shooting this in the mirror, as well as recording it. And the interesting thing is that our perception of ourselves, when we see each other, when I see you, I think I'm you. Because my eyes, my ears, my mind is focusing on you. Now you're in this business where you have to put yourself and see other people how they would like to see themselves, which is another step. Even though in negotiating, you do that.
It's a challenge.
Right.
It's actually a challenge. And my goal in every challenge is to come ahead. So as I'm describing something to you, actually as I was speaking with you and hearing you about what you done with your hair in the past and your relationship to it, I'm like, why don't we every month change your face, your look? Like the must to work with you is your facial hair. So how about we do a different design every month and see how you feel month by month with every look, and let's take pictures of it. What's your relationship with every look?
Right now, I've never had anybody cut my eyebrows where I knew that. And I've got this, it's kind of this
Donald Trump thing.
No, I'm Donald. I wouldn't want to be Donald Trump. And Donald, you can take that seriously. No, I've got enough problems.
I think we should cut your eyebrows, and the reason why, sometimes I see you like squinting your eyes, and it will give you more visibility. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Even though my eyebrows are right on above my eyes.
They're fun. Yeah, but.
But also people talk with their eyes.
You speak with your eyes.
Right.
So that will soften up your expression a lot more, which I think would be an add-on, so we get to see your eyes.
Right. So when you come.
Well, you're supposed to say thank you. I just gave you a compliment.
Oh, I passed the compliment. Thank you. You know, I think something about having blue eyes since I was born, and it always has been something that people have noticed. And I've always resented it in some ways. Because they weren't looking at me, you know, they were looking at, they didn't see me, as they just saw my eyes. And it's like that same thing with people who are beautiful. Not I had that problem, but at certain points in your life, the concept of beauty changes. Mm-hmm. And your perception of how you see yourself from when you were a kid to how you see yourself now. And I think that's an interesting thought. Think about is how our personas are change with age, but also how we see ourselves and what is beauty. They come to you with their whole vanity and insanity, and you have to look beautiful yourself.
Well, I have to have a confident look. I have to look like I know what I'm talking about in order for people to trust me. So I try, I feel, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about beauty, because sometimes you can see somebody who's beautiful, but their energy is so off that is not there. And other times you can see someone that is not so pretty, but her energy is just overflowing. with this high intensity, and that's the difference. What is beauty? And sometimes if you can find that person, I have this woman who's gorgeous, sitting in my chair, she can never see herself from that mirror. She's always looking at herself from all the flaws. And I'm like, can you just, actually last night, I had this gorgeous girl in my chair, beautiful, 24 years old, and beautiful skin, beautiful lips, beautiful eyes, and all she kept concentrating is that she has a round face, that she has a big face. She had a beautiful face. And she kept looking at my short hair, and she's like, I wish I could wear short hair. I'm like, you look amazing with short hair. She goes, oh, I will never do it. And that's when I gave her my insight. You have beautiful lips, you have beautiful eyes, your skin is amazing, you have beautiful hair. You can always go back to what you have, but give yourself the opportunity to look at yourself with short hair. You might see yourself in a different light.
I think our concept of beauty is that we're never beautiful enough. There's always something wrong, something missing,
yes.
Something. So what is it in you that you don't, that you have issues with your own beauty?
Issues? Not really. I think, how can I tell you? I think for the past year, I'm 47, and I really think I'm 27. I mean, I'm 40. I have beautiful, perfect skin that I never had to do anything. I had to wear makeup when I never needed a makeup before. And so I think I got more conscious of it. But I'm working on it. I'm working on eating better, taking my antioxidants, and educating myself into getting my health and my look, my beauty back, so I can help others to do the same.
Now, what about as you get older? The most beautiful woman I ever met was 98 years old. Aside from my mother called her a sanctuary. My mother is a sanctuary. But with the interesting thing was, as we get older, we kind of lose. We get more vain in some ways for some people who were beautiful when they were young.
I think what's happening now is with plastic surgery and everything, that everybody wants to be perfect. And even when they're perfect, they still want more perfection. And I think we're getting lost in that. And it's like, I remember my grandmother, she died when she was 114, and I remember her at 102, she was beautiful, beautiful. She was just incredibly simple, and that's what I think we're losing these days, the simplicity of beauty.
Beauty is very simple, and I mean, there's nothing like a beautiful child who just radiates that curiosity and wonder. And it's interesting how we look at children through a whole different perspective. Oh, this is a beautiful child. We think of ourselves often as commodities. What are your thoughts on that? Commodities, something that on a shelf in a mm-hmm. store, mm-hmm. and someone's going to come by and say, oh, this is beautiful. I want one of those, and I'll take three of those. Oh, you're there. Oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I especially think that when we get insecure, that's when problems arise. When we're balanced and we're confident of who we are and where we are in our own skin, then we're okay. But the problems begin when we are not balanced. Then we start fixing things. And sometimes we fix the wrong things.
Sometimes we fix the wrong things.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
Can I elaborate? It's like noise. There's sometimes when we are, and I see this with my daughters, when let's say they're not doing well in school, they will create a lot of noise around what's going on. This morning I had a meeting with my daughter's teacher, and I'm describing, you know, what the problem is. And the teacher can see also, we had a meeting prior to my daughter coming into the room, that what the problem is. She's just being very social, not paying attention. So when we call her in the room and we ask her a question, what does she think is going on? She starts creating a lot of noise around it, but never focusing into it, what is the problem. So she blames this one and that one and this one, and lots of noise, but we are going back to this is the problem. So when we figure it out, acknowledge what it is, then the problem is gone. We take responsibility and then we fix that. But most of the time, when we're not ready to really face what it is, we're just going around it. And that's when we get distracted and fix what's not important, or don't fix anything at all, and waste a lot of time in the process.
Well, I live in denial, so I resonate with your kids. But I think that's a healthy thing. I think denial is, parts of denial have a play a healthy role.
To a degree. But when you're teaching kids, or anyone, a four-year-old who doesn't know how to solve problems at four will resolve it the same way at 20, at 40, at 60. So problem-solving skills that are not taught the right way now, they're not gonna change later. And if you let somebody just make mistakes over and over again, it's almost responsible as a coach, as a mother, as of them in the future not having the right tools. So I feel a big responsibility of my kids or anyone that comes in contact with me. But I think that accountability, it is. It's the right thing. And if we do the right thing, we don't waste time.
So here you have a lot of responsibility with people's image of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and sit in their chair, your chair, this alchemist chair.
Yes.
In this wonderful space that you've made, and all these buildings around that you haven't made. What is it about people who get into this field and people who come to have their hair done? What is the mindset? I mean, why did you get into this?
I got into this, trying to figure it out, ways of, actually, I came into the business for money. I needed to figure it out, what was the best way. I couldn't afford to go to college. So what would be the best education that I can do that can, in a year or two, get me a job that I can make good money? And this is it. I have been able to support myself and get things that I never thought possible because of this business. It's a great business, and if you get to develop a clientele and a following, it's definitely, it's the career that really gives a lot of freedom. And I love what I do. I enjoy my work, the connection with the people, it's incredible. And how much I help them and they help me in the process. I've been growing, watching my clients have kids, now the kids go to college, and I'm learning to seeing them raise their kids, now I'm learning through them. And it's been an amazing opportunity to have that connection.
Yeah, I've always wondered maybe, and thinking about it more and more, that maybe the alchemist chair, your chair, what do you call these chairs? What's right with my hair?
Well, I would say, what will expect it from any hairstylist would be, let's just cut it off because it would be shocking and it would be a new look. I would say, let's keep the hair, let's just add on a little bit of layers so it gets fluffier and fuller, and kind of funkier looking. Mm-hmm. Let's clean up your face. But keeping it, just keeping the beard, but going shorter, so it's just neater, and you have room to grow.
My beard changed.
I don't think you do that often.
No, I do.
You do?
I do trim it, but I have a strange relationship with my hair. It has a mind of its own, and I am mindless.
I'm going to try to tame it and see how it works.
Oh, well, that's a dangerous thing.
Okay.
I'm fairly wild and woolly, as you can tell.
I can tell, and you would grow back into it anyway.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Now, if you could only change me, my mother would like that.
Your mom would like that, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. My son, I did a film, and the quote that I used in the film was, "You're going to get arrested, my son." But the film was pretty controversial. It was called, "Who's Wearing the Emperor's New Clothes?" If so many people believe in something, how can it be wrong? And it was just kind of questioning propaganda, questioning who we are, what we're doing, what we're not doing, why we do what we do, and why we believe in things. And beauty is a very mysterious metaphor of symbolism. You know, and it goes along with our archetypes that live inside of us, in the sense of Carl Jung and his archetypes of that we dream of, super people. Handsome people and movie stars and being praised and worshipped and being the emperor. with no clothes on, most of us. We live in these fantasies of our own imagination. Like you said, you still think you're 27.
Yes. I don't know when these years went by me.
They didn't. That's all a mirage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now let's, because...
So let's play with your hair.
Okay.
Let's wash your hair so okay. You can work better.
Okay, so let's organize this because we have cameras and we have recorders and we have all sorts of things going on. Here we go.
We are going over here.
Okay. It's all very interesting to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to wash my hair. Is there anything special about washing my hair?
Well, by law, we're supposed to wash everybody's hair just by hygiene reasons. But it's easy for me to really see the growth of your hair when the hair is wet. Because after it's dry, your hair already dried in some way because you were wearing a hat. By me washing it, I have the opportunity to really see the patterns that your hair grows. And it's easy for me to work with it.
I'm recording this while I'm doing this.
Okay, just try to face like over here.
What? Okay, you're gonna stay right there?
Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
Sure, I am giving you a wash,
okay.
Shampoo, and I am going to give you a conditioner.
Okay. I always love this part, by the way.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
I have a practice. I haven't done this in a while, so if I wash your beard, it's not.
I washed my beard today, actually.
Is that too hot?
No.
Most people enjoy these the most.
Yeah, I know. I had a woman who did my hair years ago, and what she would put on at the end of it, what is that called?
The purple shampoo?
No. Wintergreen, witch hazel.
Okay, that's like a disinfectant.
Oh no, it was just a nice feel that would make your head tingle.
Yes. Peppermint also.
Peppermint?
You like that feeling?
Yeah.
Oh, I can add on a little bit.
I always liked it. There's just something about it that just kind of made your head tingle.
Can you get this?
But whatever you need to do, I'm just
going
to
step over you.
Okay. Watch the camera. This process that's going on right now of washing, you said that people like this process.
Mm-hmm.
What do they like about it?
It's like a relaxing feeling. It's kind of like, okay, now this is about me. So they enjoy the relaxing feeling of me taking care of, I'm guessing. But you, how are you feeling?
Oh, I love it. I'm just wondering what... there's a whole subliminal thing that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
People go in the water, their heartbeat and their breathing slow down. Like dolphins, their heartbeats are a lot slower because we're mostly water anyway. When we go in water, our whole bodies relax
mm-hmm.
and slow down. This is also subliminal.
Yeah, and it kind of sets the right mood, so by the time the clients come to the chair, they're already kind of disconnected from the outside, more getting present into being here. It creates a more intimate moment.
I tell people sometimes when they're upset or just stick their hands in water.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely relaxing.
We're going to move again. So let me just take this.
You can take the whole thing.
Just so I can. This is very interesting because rarely do you have you're shooting yourself, one person.
You ready?
Okay, so we'll put your hair a little bit, move a little bit
a little
here.
This way.
And a little bit there. And we'll have it all together. So the neck, let's see.
I'm using a razor.
Mm-hmm. I used to shave with a straight edge razor.
Oh, you did?
When I was a kid. I loved it.
Uh-huh.
You know why?
Why?
I don't know why. But there was something beautiful about
about the whole process
dangerous.
Of sharpening it on a leather thing. And
so when was the last time you got a haircut?
Okay, last...
It was spring, you said? It was fall?
Yeah, it was probably spring of last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I forget about it sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I trim my beard usually every other day or every couple of days.
What do you use? The buzzer?
No, what is it? Just scissors.
Mm-hmm.
I once married a hairdresser.
You told me.
Yeah, hairstylist. She quit because she was dealing with too many personalities, and she realized that people would react. Well, yeah, she would give me a haircut that would take an hour and a half and just layer it and just, it was just really great.
Uh-huh.
You know. She was an artist, but she didn't really...
So there we go with the eyebrows.
Yeah, there we
but
go.
But don't worry about losing them. They grow back.
They took a whole lifetime.
Before you know, they're back. So in case you do miss them.
They only took... You know, I never had them cut.
Never?
Not that I
you
recall.
You were a virgin.
I am. I still am. I always thought of what it would be like to be a natural man. What it would be like to live naturally. And so I did for a while.
So I know you're pretty attached to this hair, so I'm going to be as gentle as possible.
Excellent.
And keeping as much as possible.
Right.
But my goal is to just kind of get you a neater look that can look stylish, and now that your hair is just long and messy.
Okay.
But that is the style that you're carrying.
Yeah, I like my mustache kind of longish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's pretty long in there.
Yeah.
I think you can spare a little bit. How long have you been wearing facial hair? Forever?
Since I was 19, a couple of years ago.
Did you ever shave it off?
Never. Never.
There you go. At some point, we might need to do that. You might find a year that you don't know.
Well, you know, right now you've already just changed my whole facial appearance.
Do you know that actress Malkovich? You remind me a little bit of him. Malkovich is his name? What's his name? John Malkovich?
Malkovich.
Yes. Am I hurting you?
No. I was just trying to figure
out.
The
hair flying everywhere?
No, I was just trying to figure out if I should move the camera. So I'm the cameraman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about being filmed in this whole process, project, and what we're talking about?
I'm still adjusting to the idea. It's interesting, I was thinking about that before. Normally, I love to promote other people. I love to do things in other people. And I think I'm ready to be challenged. And this is definitely challenging myself. I know that there are amazing opportunities out there, and I've been getting ready for all of them. So right now, I'm ready to challenge myself.
You ready for the next?
Next
version of nursing?
Yeah, I've been reinventing myself for years.
Now your married name is Sullivan.
Yes.
But your original
name is Rodriguez.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Oh.
My daughter just asked me last night, am I keeping my married name? And I say for now I am. Forever? I don't know. But right now it feels good to have the same name as my daughters. And I don't know if the name belongs to me. But right now it's not the moment to make that huge change. Yeah. It always felt weird.
To be a Sullivan?
To be a Sullivan.
With a Spanish accent?
Actually, with my looks. It was always interesting when I, like, if I went into like a clinic and they call Miss Sullivan, and they're always looking at the blonde or the redhead, and then there I go, it's like, oops. And they can never pronounce my name properly, so it was really interesting to see. Because no one is never expecting a Sullivan looking like me.
Right, so they try and figure out how to pronounce it with a Spanish accent.
Well, my name also. My real name is Enercida. Mm-hmm. And I took the beginning and the last words of my name. So people don't know how to pronounce it. So it's weird and funny.
And what does Enercida mean?
I have no clue. My parents made it up probably. I don't know anybody by that name. And I have 9 sisters. I think they were running out of names.
Running out of names.
Then they got to me. Yes.
Yeah, you were the 9th?
I'm number 9 of 14. Yes. And we're so many that, you know, this Saturday, we have 3 birthdays in celebrate.
Well, talk to me about family. What is family?
What is family? Family is that community that you can trust that's always there for you. The love that is always there. That connection that you don't need to speak or defend yourself. It's just the support that is always there. That's what we are. We're there for each other. And it's fabulous.
And what's that feel like? Is there ever arguments with a family of 14?
You know, it's interesting. Our family is not argumentative. We are not into, you know, we're kind of pretty passive in a way that you have your life and I respect it. I respect your views and I might not. This is interesting because now that we moved to this country, like, let's say my sister's daughters became, changed their religion. And now they are Muslims. Not Muslims. No. What's that religion from Utah?
Mormons.
That's what they are. And it was a secret that they didn't let anybody know about it because we're very Catholic and we grew up very strong that way. So that was kind of this connection that we, because we don't know that much about it, they just kind of kept the hush-hush and we didn't want to ask because we don't want to intrude. So it's kind of like something that is not being talked about. But, and I think that deep down we fear a little bit because it's different and we don't understand. And what we know about it is not positive. So of course we fear it. And so those are the things that right now I'm kind of trying to deal with and learn because things are changing. Now we're raising kids in America. And you know, a lot of things are changing.
What is it that challenges you?
What challenges me? Especially with family, it challenges me when we cannot like discuss these things. I feel like this is family, there are changes happening in our lives. How can we work it together to make the best of it and be informed instead of keep it secret? But because we were raised in a way that I respect your view, I respect your things, I'm not getting in your space, I think right now it's kind of working against us instead of keeping us closer. Because that part of our lives now, we're not sharing it. So it's bizarre. Yeah. Like my parents, my dad knows now, but these girls have been going to this church for the past 3-4 years, and it was kept as a secret. And you know, I don't understand it much. Like my niece was telling the other day, a friend of mine in front of me, that when she gets married, her parents are not welcome to her wedding. You know, for us, anything that we do, my daughters have a little event at school. I want the whole family there to celebrate. And suddenly a marriage? Your parents are not invited because they don't belong to this religion? It's nonsense. So, you know, like, I don't go with that. But right now, I'm trying to learn how to see that life is changing and I cannot change things. But I do my best, though. to maintain that connection with my nieces and maintain the family connection that I'm there for them, whether we're in the same religion or not. But I'm struggling with that. It's almost that disconnection that happened, and it's like, can we still have the disconnection and be connected? Or will that disconnection change us forever? And how this that we have as a family that has been so amazing, are we going to be able to continue it like my parents did? Or is it going to be broken? And how can we pass that into the next generations?
So I have a question. So here we are. I'm looking in the mirror, and you're looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I once met this incredible singer, woman, and I asked her how she got that way. What was it that really made a difference to her? You know,
mm-hmm.
She says, I sing in the mirror. If I can sing in the mirror and be my own worst critic, nobody can come close.
Maybe I need to start doing that. I was speaking to my sister, who I adore, the other day, and she says to me, you know, I was thinking, she's one of those that I'm so excited and I have so much energy that I can talk to you about 20 things at once. She says to me, have you ever thought that you might have HDD or ADHD? And coming from her, who knows me really well, I was like, oh. You know, and she was just telling me about someone, a patient, she's a dental hygienist, who was in her chair, and they were discussing this, and she told me. So she thought, why not tell you? And, you know, it did offend me for a minute that she thought about me that way. And then again, I thought, but wait, it's true. I can, in a 5 minutes conversation, I probably talk to her about 50 different things because that's me. I'm excited. And if I'm happy, watch out. So in a normal way, I'm just excited. In a happy moment, I'm super excited. So I have a friend who's a psychotherapist, and I ask her, I say, do you think I have ADHD, ADD, any of those stuff? And she says to me, I don't think so. She says, the things that you accomplish and the things that you do, you know, is not for someone who has that. And I can tell you this from a friend point of view, or I can tell you this from a psychologist point of view. So it was reassuring to know that I don't, and actually I'm looking forward to see my therapist tomorrow. He's a behavioral psychologist. And I'm like, I want to ask him the same question. What does he think? But when you ask me a question about how do I feel about changes and all those things, I'm struggling to see the changes happening and not be able to have what I got. I think it was priceless. Do you need help?
No. What do you mean priceless?
I got an opportunity to meet two amazing people. My parents were incredible, loving, respectful, amazing. And they were able to give us such a balance. And I think this is why I can now help balance other people that sit in my chair, people that come in contact with me, because I was balanced growing up. So I'm not sure if we're gonna be able to pass that on to the next generation who's not allowing us to feed them more of the information we got. Instead they are choosing all the things and it's their world, it's their lives. They have they have to do what they need to do. But at the same time, I don't think, are we being strong enough passing on what my parents did with all the noise that we have in this world? Are our kids gonna be able to really get the messages? I don't know. So that is a bit scary.
And what do you want to pass on to them?
I think the love, the caring, the respect. Respect, that's something, I'm sorry. That's something really, really important to me. The respect, not only for the parents, but for anyone who's older than them. And when you have that sense of respect, you have it and you give it. And are we doing that? Are we passing it on strong enough? Are we having enough opportunity to do it? Are we confident enough to do it? If I can give anything to my kids, it's the sense of respect that my parents gave me. I think will be the best I can do for them.
And where did that come from? Where do you think they got it?
I think they were special souls. Because they don't have much of a school education. But what they got is a sense, you know, a sense of, which I think a lot of it, especially when I see kids and when I'm talking to kids sometimes, it's just kind of like whatever kind of attitude. And I think what we got, it was not that whatever sense. It's just things are or not. So there's not room for like all this noise and all this nonsense. It's about accountability again. And if we get that clear, it's like what I was telling you about kids, that if you learn how to do things, it's the problem-solving skills that if we get them right as they're little, as they get older, you don't have to fix it, they have it. And that can be applied to anything else. So that's what I think my parents were very consistent in doing. They were able to pass on those informations that really created that consistency that made me reinvent myself. Like, let's say 5 years ago, I was challenged, lost my business, did this, did that. But you know what? I have no fear that I can do it again.
And did you?
Yeah. I'm starting all over again. And you know what? I have no fear that I can do it again. So that's, if I can pass anything to my kids, that would be it. The resilience, the strength, the respect, the power that comes with trusting yourself.
That's a difficult thing. Did you always have that?
Did I always have it? I think, you know what? I think I always had it. It just got developed. And then now I became aware of it, and now I recognize it. So now I'm trying to polish it. Because I know what I was able to create under the worst circumstances. Now, I want to see what I can create under the best circumstances.
But what were you like as a kid?
Oh, God. I was that child that, let's say, somebody knocked on the door. I was the first one that came in to say hello and invite them in. And I was always that girl. I was the outspoken, friendly. I knew the mayor of the town. I knew everyone. Like, I would find people that really wanted to be my friend. And also, most of the time, the little lady a mile away, the guy in the gas station, I would trade books with him. Like, the relationships were just that when my mom had to keep watch of me, because I would create relationships with people, priests, I would share books with them, and I was a kid. But I always had that older attitude where I kind of felt like I was always reaching out. I know there was more, like I know now. There is so much more out there. And I just want to have more time to go up there and find it.
Well, and what I'm curious is too, you know, here you were,
Are you liking what you see?
Pardon?
Yourself?
Oh yeah, no, I like the, kind of our little play.
And
I like what we're doing. I just can't shoot. It's very difficult shooting. Being a cameraman.
No. Yeah, I think we're there.
Right.
Yeah.
You think?
You're right
can
here.
You see?
Yeah, you see. This is you.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm right here.
Can you see you in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
So talk to me about the young Enercida. Enercida, growing up in
Dominican Republic. How young.
What would you tell her now?
Oh God, I wouldn't change anything. That I'm glad I made the choices I made. What would I tell her?
Yeah, if you can have a conversation. If you ran into a young Enercida.
What would I tell her? That she made the right choices? She made the right choices. Coming to the right country, the right place at the right time. Yes. You afraid of me?
No.
Oops. Alchemy. Yes. Mm-hmm. 1 second. Okay, 1 second. Okay. Can you do 2:30? That's perfect. Not a problem. Beautiful. You're welcome. Bye. Let's see. What are you trying to aim at?
I'm trying to get me and you.
Yes, okay.
In the picture when you're standing here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I'm standing here.
When you're standing right by.
Right behind you. Yes.
Okay, can you see in there? I can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I'm using is a little bit of wax, and the wax is just kind of settling the hair so it kind of falls into place. And voila. It still kept more, almost, I just took about an inch of the length, and I kind of layer it so it looks a little bit thicker all around, and then I just clean up around the hairline, so you still kind of have the same look you had before, but it's just a little bit neater.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's beautiful. This is your next appointment?
My next appointment.
Okay, good. Well, we did good.
Really well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How about you? What do you think?
Good. I think it works out really well, and we've got some good food for thought.
Okay.
And our purpose mm-hmm. here was really to test the waters, see where we
and
are.
Feel it out. Uh-huh. Okay, that's my dad.
Oh, hi. Hi, Dad.
Uh-huh. Great.
Okay, good.
You don't need me anymore?
No.
Excellent. So all your stuff is there.
Great.
You're all good. How are you? Take your time, I'm not rushing you.